Father in heaven, I thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ assembled here in your name. And already it's been a busy morning of us worshiping, reflecting on body and blood, listening to scripture, singing. So I pray for your Spirit's continued presence with us. In the next few moments, we might hear from your word, that all of these elements might come together to have built us up in Christ and into one another. Thank you for your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a disturbing news report this week. The news report was that child sacrifice is on the rise in Africa. Certain parts of Africa. If you can believe that. It's 2011, isn't it? And child sacrifice, particularly other people's children being taken and sacrificed in some African cultures. That probably kicks you in the gut the way did me this week when I read it. And it should. But we ought to probably get over that initial gut reaction to think a little bit about why could that be? How could that be? Why ever in our world, whether in 2011 or been reading a little bit about the Aztec Empire, and human sacrifice was a part of that. We read in Scripture about cultures in which child sacrifice was a part of the religious system. We should stop and ask ourselves, why ever could it be that a human, a mother or a father, could ever come to that point where they would do that? To their own child or anyone else's, for that matter. And if we thought about that, I think we would realize that it comes down to a very simple question in a way. And that is the question, what makes the world go round? What drives the world? How does it work? If you were to ask people that question today, you'd get a lot of different answers. Some people would say, well, it just does. The world just, you know, spins, all that sort of stuff. But you get other answers. What makes the world go round? Money, the economy. Plenty of people worried about that right now. What's going on in Europe? What's going on in the United States? What's going on in other places? It's the economy, stupid. Right? Makes the world go round. Love makes the world go round. Technology. Human advancement, effort, mysterious forces, spiritual stuff makes the world go round. You get a lot of different answers. You see, this whole child sacrifice thing, whether in 2011 or hundreds or thousands of years ago, is a behavior that flows from an answer to the question, what makes the world go round? Those that sacrifice their children believe that somehow the way the world works requires that they appease deities or whatever it is, spill blood, theirs or somebody else's, in order to make the world work right. If we don't sacrifice this child today, the rain will not come tomorrow on our crop. That's the logic. And it really just comes down to that question, how does the world work? What makes the world run right? How does it work? And honestly, to a certain extent, those people that engaged in those sorts of practices were more faithful to their worldview than a lot of people today that might claim that love makes the world go around, and then they live their lives embittered and angry and hurting other people. There's a disconnect there, isn't there? If love makes the world go round, how come you don't love a little more? Right? So these pagan peoples sort of got their worldview correct. They thought the world ran on the appeasement of these deities and so forth. And their behavior made sense on the basis of how they understood the universe to work. And you can look around the people around you in our world, in any culture, and ask yourself, what do they think about what makes the world work? And how does that show in their behavior? How does it show in their behavior? Based on how they think the world works, the world runs. Last week, we began a brief series considering the relationship between Christ and creation. And we were sort of leaping off from Romans chapter 11, verse 36, that says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things." And last week, we looked at from Him. What does it mean that creation is from Christ? We talked about the implications of that. Today, I want us to look at that middle term, through Christ. What does it mean when Romans or several other passages, as we'll see in a few moments, say that creation is through Christ? And I think it comes back to answering this question with which we have begun. What makes the world go round? How does it work? You answer that question wrongly, you're going to live wrong. You answer that question correctly and live correctly. Let's look at one passage where Scripture talks about creation being through Christ. I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We may be in several different passages today. Hopefully we can get to them quickly enough. John chapter 1. These are familiar verses. Some of you could quote them probably along with me. Just going to look at John 1, verses 1 through 5. And listen for the links between Christ and creation. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Of course, these verses have echoes of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, light and life and the words from God's mouth that created the universe. And John is eager to help us understand that the story of Jesus does not begin in Bethlehem, but begins in eternity past. The Word was with God. That's a sermon and a theology lesson for another day, I suppose. But in the midst of these verses, we have in verse 3, "All things were made through Him." All things through Him. And to make sure we got the point, he adds, "And without Him was not anything made that was made." So if it was made, it was made through Christ. John is getting it. What does it mean for creation to be through Christ? Well, I think from John 1, one of the things it means is that Christ is the means by which creation was created, by which the universe was created. Well, how is that different from Him being the source? Last week we said Christ was the source. What does it mean? What is it different that He is the means of creation? Well, as source, Christ is the ultimate origin of everything that is. Whereas, as means, He is the creative power by which all these things came to be. Something very dynamic about Christ being that through which creation exists. And we can see that by comparing Genesis 1 and John 1. How does God create in Genesis? "And God said, let there be light." Words. What was the means, the method, the power behind how God created? Divine speech. His words. What does John 1 say? "In the beginning was the Word." Now, if that mystifies you a little bit, you're in good company. What does it mean for Christ to be the Word of God and words to create and all that tied together? If I could do that, I'd be famous, I'm sure. I'd probably also be insufferable. Genesis 1 declares that God created with His Word, divine speech, and John 1 tells us that the most fundamental word that God has to say is Christ. He's the first word, the final word. The ultimate word is Christ. So Christ, creation being through Christ means that Christ is the means by which creation was created. I think there may be other ways to talk about this that would help us. Another way would be to say that Christ is kind of the necessary medium for creation to exist. There's a lot of things in our world that need something else to exist before they can exist, right? A simple one that I thought of was a wave. You know what a wave is? Let's think water waves. Sound waves and stuff are beyond me. So let's talk about water waves. Real easy. You can make them in your bathtub. What does a wave need? It needs a source. But it also needs water. Right? Can a wave exist without water? No. Now, a wave is distinct from the water. It does different things than the water alone does. But the wave cannot exist unless the water exists first. Right? There has to be water in order for there to be a wave. It might be a way, it's a feeble analogy, I grant you, but maybe a way to think about how fundamental Christ is for the existence of creation. No Christ, no creation. No water, no waves. It's that simple. And I think that Paul seems to affirm almost something like this in Acts 17:28. He's talking to the pagans in Greece at the time. He says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." In God, in Christ. Now, if the previous thing I said doesn't mystify you, I'm sure that does. And that's okay. It's okay to be mystified by some of these things. But I think creation existing through Christ may also mean that He's the necessary medium in order for anything to exist. One final thought is also that Christ, creation being through Christ, means that Christ is the active agent in creation, the power in creation. Creation being through Christ is not just a past tense reality. Go with me, if you would, to Colossians, just briefly. Colossians 1, to see this. Colossians 1. It says this in Colossians 1, verse 15 and following. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him." We'll look at "for Him" next week. But look at the end of verse 17. "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Hold together. Christ not only was the active agent in creation at the beginning when God spoke that out, but He continues to be that which holds all of creation together. He's the active agent now. What keeps things from spinning out into all sorts of chaos? It's Christ. Because creation still exists through Him. If you ask some people what makes the world go round, they would probably say something like energy. Right? Energy. It all comes down to energy, doesn't it? But think again about John 1. You don't have to turn there, but what does it say about Jesus? "In Him was life. And the life was the light of men." John is not a physicist, okay? The Gospel of John. He's not trying to write physics. But isn't it interesting that he touches on, through Christ, biology? "In Him was life." Just life. The very concept of life. "And the life was the light." energy. John links kind of these two very fundamental concepts of the universe with Christ himself. Light and life. Light and life are connected to Christ. Well, that's kind of the theology side of it. What's the point, Pastor Steve? If creation is through Christ, so what? Well, a few points, and some of them I'll go through quickly. There's a couple that are worth further consideration. The first one is maybe an easy concept. If creation is through Christ, if Christ is the active agent in creation even today, miracles are possible. Miracles are possible. There are many people today that discount the possibility of miracles. Why? Well, the universe runs on laws, and God's not going to violate the laws. It just doesn't make sense for God to intervene in our universe. The universe wouldn't work right. We couldn't count on anything. And people that talk this way sort of depict God over here and the universe over here, and he shouldn't meddle with it. Don't stick your fingers in it. It runs on the scientific laws. But Scripture says no. Creation does not run fundamentally on scientific laws. It runs on Christ. So if all of creation runs on Christ, Christ is constantly intervening in the world. The sun doesn't come up every day because there's some law beyond God that decides that that should happen. No. God sees fit. Christ sees fit. He's the power that makes that happen every day. If Christ is always the active agent in creation, why can he not do as he wishes? Why can he not bring the dead back to life if he is the life? Why can he not speed up the process of water to wine? Sort of skip a few steps, if you will. Right? If he is life and light, why can he not separate bread to multiply for thousands? He is the active power in creation. Miracles are possible. Second thought, if creation is through Christ, we should turn to Christ rather than any other resource. If we answer the question, what makes the world go round? What drives the world with Christ? How does that shape how we interact with that world? The person who thinks that the world goes round by the appeasing of deities does whatever it is that they do, sacrifices of one sort or another. The person who thinks that the world goes round by scientific principles does certain things. If we believe that the world goes round, if you will, because of Christ, we should turn to Christ rather than any other resource. In our world today, there is increasingly the idea that human ingenuity and technology are the ways to run the world, right? Manipulate the world. Get it to do what we want it to do. We saw how well technology works this morning, don't we? It's as much of an enemy. But even, think about it, even in our churches, isn't the temptation today to think, you know what will really spice up our worship? If we have the words on a screen. Right? That technology is going to fix some problem. Oh, and the people have to sing into a hymnal. They sing all listlessly and we can't hear them because they have to sing into the book. We'll solve it. With PowerPoint, right? With a laser light show. That's next week, right? I have to wear a hat so as not to burn my fragile skin. But there, even in our churches, in our parenting, in our marriages, there's always this temptation to think that I would work better in my job if I had this bit of technology. I would do better as a parent or father if I had this perfect technique to be able to apply to the situation. We talked a little bit about that this week in men's Bible study. That we want techniques. We want technologies to fix our problems. But the world doesn't run on technology, my friends. Technology does not make the world go round. Jesus does. Christ is the active agent in creation. Technologies are useful. I'm not a Luddite. Right? Luddites are people that hate technology. Okay? I got Wi-Fi and I got laptop and all that sort of thing. Okay? And I love that we have things on the screen for us to read. That's wonderful. Make sure you hear me rightly. But what is your belief system? I read an article this week by an environmentalist type, and he came right out and said, technology will save us. The language of the article was very theological. Technology will save us. We live in a world surrounded by people that believe something like that. That technology. What's the problem with the Honduran economy? Well, we just need different technologies. What's the problem with Honduran driving? We need better technologies. What's the problem with technology? Techniques. We could just get everybody to do this, it would all work. But if creation is through Christ, we should turn fundamentally to Christ rather than any other resource, though those other resources may be tools that Christ gives to us. Technology has its place, but if we forget that Christ is the fundamental power and acting agent through which creation exists and on which creation runs, we're going to be constantly frustrated by our technologies, by our techniques, which will not solve the problems, spiritual or otherwise. Because Christ is the fundamental acting agent of creation. Creation runs, works, the world goes round based on Christ. Third thought. If first creation is through Christ, and that's what we've been reading, these passages talk about first creation being through Christ, the physical creation, if we want to call it that, although that's some problems. If first creation is through Christ, new creation is through Him as well. Many of the places that talk about creation, the physical Genesis 1 creation being through Christ, within a verse or two are suddenly talking about how new creation is through Christ as well. There's a link in John. Some of you know John 1 well enough. What happens, 10 verses later from where we read? John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's that about? First creation or new creation? New creation. New creation. Colossians 1, if you're still there, I read the first two or three verses of that passage, beginning in verse 15. But right after saying that all things hold together in Christ, we read this, and He is the head of the body of the church, verse 18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. What's that? New creation. I want you to see something from the Colossians passage, which is actually our passage for next week, but it applies this week. Look in verse 16. All things were created by Him. And then what does Paul do to make sure we understand what he means by all things? Heaven, earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things. Goes through this little list. See what he did in verse 20? Okay, 19 and 20. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself, here's two important words, all things. And then He does essentially the same thing, whether on earth or in heaven. Right? So in both of these, He says He created all things, thrones, dominion, heaven and earth, all of that. And then He reconciles all things, thrones or dominion, heavens or earth, whether this or that. The two are tied together. Christ's participation in new creation is linked to his participation, his empowering agency in old creation. What does that mean? Well, I think it means this. Sometimes we tell the story, you hear people tell the story of Scripture as though something went so horribly wrong in old creation that now what we have is an old creation that's run by the devil, and Jesus is trying to combat that with his new creation. And it's, right? But if all things in old creation and new creation are through Christ and empowered by Him and only exist through Him, in spite of sin in this world, there's more Jesus in old creation than there is the devil. You get that? Old creation has its problems. There's sin, there's brokenness. I get that. But if all creation is through Christ, and new creation is through Christ, the fact of the matter is that these two worlds in which we live, with kind of a foot in old creation and a foot in new creation, both of them are empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ and are under His lordship. As Martin Luther once said, yes, there is a Satan. There is a devil. But he's God's devil. Because he exists in a world with powers that have been delegated to him. There is plenty of evil in our world as part of the fallen, broken creation. But I don't ever want you to live in this world as if this old creation is out of God's control. As if this old creation is mostly bad and needs to be completely gotten rid of. Christ is still the active agent that keeps creation going. And there's more Christ in old creation than there is the devil. That's why there's beauty still. That's why there's joy and delight in foods and in fun and humor and in basic human physical relationships. Because there's still a whole lot of Christ in the old creation. That's a wonder to me. Finally, and perhaps most obviously, but most difficultly for us to live, is that if both old and new creation are through Christ, we can only rightly, successfully, if you want to use that word, live in this world through Christ. One last passage to look at. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We have referenced this passage last week. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 8 says, "For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, that for us, there's one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom," there it is again, "through whom are all things, and through whom we exist." Through whom we exist. Appliances are designed to run on a certain type of power, right? A certain level of power. I don't understand a lot of things about electricity, but I know that you can plug something into an outlet and it not work, or it works so well that it bursts into flames, right? The appliance was made to run on a certain wattage or voltage or amperage or whatever, or all of the above. My apologies to the electricians. What happens when you try to run that appliance on some other power? Whether because the power coming through your outlets is running a little low, you got a brownout, sometimes we call it that, or because you somehow managed to plug it into, you know, the wrong kind of outlet. What can happen to that appliance? Destroy it, right? Sometimes it might sort of run, but It's doing damage to the inside. Sometimes that power surge will just overwhelm the appliance and melt it out, right? I've heard hysterical stories about poor young ladies going on missions trips to foreign lands where the power runs differently, and them not completely understanding that, plugging in their curling irons, and then going to curl their hair and burning their hair right off because their curling iron was at a gazillion degrees, right? Because they plugged it in without any sort of converter, and it just fried the curling iron and then their hair, right? Why? Because the appliance was designed to run on a certain type of power. The universe and you and me run on Christ. Christ is the active agent, the power, the voltage that human beings and the entire universe was designed to run on. And if we try to plug into any other source, we're running against the grain of the universe. We're running against the grain of our own creation, the power source that we were designed to run on. And this is true whether you think about your high and holy spiritual activities, which you'd say, yes, I definitely need to plug into the power source of Christ in order to preach a sermon, teach the Sunday school lesson, help the poor in need. Or whether you're going to plug into the power source to do your laundry, to drive across town, to balance your checkbook. You see, we sometimes associate that one group of things, the laundry and the driving across town and balancing the checkbook with sort of, those are old creation realities. You know, they're mundane things we have to do. What God really cares about is those things I say in that funny voice. But what did we just see? Creation, old creation, mundane, kind of broken down, in need of fixing creation, still runs on the power of and is maintained by the authority of Jesus Christ just as much as new creation, and all the pursuits that we would do in new creation are run on the power source of Christ. And yet some of us live our lives as if when I'm going to do, you know, my everyday things, I'm just going to plug into the power of Steve. I'm going to balance my checkbook, I'm going to put the oil in my car, I'm going to care for parents, I'm going to do this. But then when I'm going to do spiritual things, that's when I got to plug into Jesus. Only one power source, my friends, for anything that we do. Paul cannot put it any more clearly than he does in 1 Corinthians 8 when he says, you exist through Christ. Through Christ. How do you do your ministry? Through Christ. How do you parent? Through Christ. How do you do your laundry? Through Christ. How do you get out of bed in the morning? Through Christ. How do you be a husband, a wife, a teacher? How do you sweep the floor? Through Christ. There is not two power streams, one for my secular life and one for my spiritual life. Christ is it. Christ is it. That's the implication. If I believe that the world runs on Christ, that's the implication. If I believe that the world runs on deities that need to be appeased, I'll do my sacrifices, I'll sacrifice my child, I'll do whatever. If I believe that the world runs on money and the economy, I will sacrifice my life to get the money and the economy, everything that it needs. If I believe that the most fundamental thing, that which runs the world, that which drives everything, is, however mysteriously we need to understand that, is Christ, that all things exist through Christ, then that should show in how I live, through my prayer life, through my dependence on Christ, His Word, worship, other believers. And so we end essentially where we began. I asked at the beginning, what makes the world go round? What drives the world? We end by asking, what drives you? What's the power? What's the active agent in you? What resources are you tapping into to do what you do? Are you a pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? Is it caffeine in the morning? Is it technology? Is it the, I just got to do this because if I don't, my life will fall apart? Or somehow, are you striving to figure out what it means for you to exist through Christ? Through Christ. I pray that this body of believers, in whatever distinct areas of life and ministry God has called you into, that we might share this truth that we exist through Christ. The embassy worker exists through Christ. The financial guy at the ministry exists and does his work through Christ. The people pouring the concrete floors exist through Christ. Christ. The man who runs the business downtown doing whatever it is, the woman who runs the business exists through Christ. We manifest it in different ways, but it comes down to this. You exist. The earth exists through Christ. Let's pray. This is a truth, Father, that we can assent to very readily. And sometimes the day-to-day outworking of that can be challenging. And I suspect that some of my brothers and sisters might wish that I could have spent more time on exactly what does it look like to do that through Christ. Through Christ. I would ask that your Holy Spirit might have some of that conversation within them. But I pray, we have families here, they have time to talk this through. What does it mean to exist through Christ? We have ministries that work together, talk through what does it really mean for us to exist through Christ in everything that we do. This church, I as its pastor, us as elders, ministers in music and in teaching and other things, that we would grasp this profound and mysterious truth that we exist through Christ. May that be evident in the way that we live for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In whose name I pray. Amen.